This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is how to find the best neighborhood for real estate investing. But before we get started, hey, I want to just touch base with you guys and see how everybody's doing. I know that I've been talking to some of you folks, either via email or even via telephone and so forth, and meeting some in person. Folks are doing different things here. It's good to see that you guys are still moving forward, not getting too discouraged in this economy and all the other things that are going on nationally and even internationally right now. It's good to see you're still out there finding good deals and moving forward. Hey, if you are having challenges and maybe you might have some specific areas where you might need some help, feel free to send me an email. Maybe you might want me to talk about financing deals or finding strategic partners or a little bit more information on analyzing properties or whatever it is. Just feel free to send me email. I'm always looking for good topics, and hopefully we'd be able to help you out and make that opportunity to grow your investment portfolio that much more feasible. So let's move on to our tip of the week. Okay, my producer Tim said, these tips of the week are getting longer and longer. It's almost like they're their own podcast. And you're right, Tim, it is. So this will be a brief one. And I'll try to keep them brief in the future because, sometimes it does become almost its own podcast. Even me talking right now, this could become another pod. Okay, here we go. Just kidding. Rent prep. Okay, I've talked about rent prep. We've had representatives for their company on our show as guests, but this is a great service here. And the reason I'm saying this is because I have struggled with property managers over the years, and I know some of you folks have as well. And if you're getting tenants in your properties that are leaving after a year or even less or getting evicted, then you've got an issue. I have said it and I'll say it again and again and again, but you really don't start making any kind of money here in real estate investing until that person renews their first lease. And then each lease after that, it gets better and better. But you've got to have people that are going to stay at least a couple of years. And if you're not getting people like that, or you're getting problem tenants, then it's because, the quality of the people you're getting. So sometimes I will tag team with my property managers, and I will do a separate search. I'll go to different media. I'll go through different avenues to try to find tenants, and literally go through the whole process, even screening them and having them fill out applications and so forth, to see if I could find better tenants than they can. And it's not a competition, but basically, even if they say that we found somebody for your property, I want to check them out as well as I can. And Rent Prep is a great resource that I do this with. And I have been able to find some great tenants. And the tenants that I have been finding are tenants that are staying and are longer-term tenants. And so I think part of that is because Rent Prep is they're an organization that was born out of the realization that smaller landlords needed the same access to quality tenant screening that the big companies do. So early on, when I just had just a few properties, I would utilize their service alongside my property managers, if need be, to try to find the best tenants. And this their screening is very comprehensive. They can do credit, criminal background. They even verify it with landlord. It's just a really good service. So I know this tip of the week was supposed to be shorter, but Rent Prep, they're really good. There'll be a link to their website that you can reach in our show notes, or you can go into our services, because we list them. We think a lot of this company, so we list them as one of our referral type companies that we feel really good about. And it's really easy, their service. You can go to the site and check it out and see what they produce, what their reports look like. It's well worth it. So I know this sounds like an ad, but they're not paying me to say this. I just really believe in the company. Okay, well, let's jump on to our topic, how to find the best neighborhood for real estate investing. Now, this is a biggie here. Although there's a lot of different ways to invest in real estate, there's one thing that all rental properties have in common. And that is, if you buy an investment property in the wrong area, it's going to be a nightmare, and you may never profit from that property. That's how serious it is. I mean, people say location, location, location is number one. I mean, I think it's definitely very, very important, but I would also say on an equal level are relationships, relationships, relationships. They're just as equally as important. But as far as a property is concerned, you want to make sure that it is in the right neighborhood. And there are sometimes when you can buy in a neighborhood and just one block over, and that's going to be a bad place. And you may be just one block away from that. And you may not even know, if you're not monitoring things properly, that, you know, your street is next and it's going to go down, or the one next door is going to do better, I mean, or improve. But either way, you really need to understand the neighborhoods that you're investing in. Really, really key. And to do that, you have to do a thorough neighborhood analysis. Now, that's a report real estate investors create to help calculate the investment potential of a rental property based on the characteristics of the neighborhood the property's located in. Now, for us real estate investors, using a buy and hold investment strategy, okay, a neighborhood analysis can help reveal how attractive a particular property will be to tenants this year, next year, and even for the next 10 years down the road. Factors such as good schools and proximity to employment, shopping, and regional amenities will support the long-term appeal to tenants and buyers when the time comes to sell. Or just for the long term, to hold those tenants there to keep renting from you. Many active real estate investors combine a larger market analysis with a neighborhood analysis. Now, we talk about this when we talk about finding emerging markets. A major market analysis isn't really necessarily block by block. It really looks at a key city, and then sometimes you can zero in on parts of the cities there. But the neighborhood analysis is much more individualized. It's important to understand how each neighborhood relates to the larger market for a couple of reasons. First, a specific property may offer what seems to be great potential, but if the surrounding houses are rough and uncared for, the great property may end up being not so great after all. Secondly, even though the overall market is strong, buying a property in the wrong place can result in market value decreasing and rents eroding over time. Now, there are also macro factors in a neighborhood analysis. Let's begin with looking at some of those or sort of a big picture factors to consider when putting together or reading a neighborhood analysis. Note that all of these factors contribute to the concept of highest and best use, HBU, in real estate. This is developed back in the late 1800s. Actually, HBU states that the highest and best use of a property is always the use that produces the highest value for the property, regardless of how the property is currently being used. Number one, location. we just mentioned location, location, location. As the saying goes, you know, the three most important things about real estate are location, location, location. I think that relationships are equally as important, but I definitely think as far as the property value, yes. That's actually another way of sort of describing the highest and best use of a piece of land or property. Even though there's a strong demand for single-family rental homes and small multifamily properties in most real estate markets, a neighborhood analysis may discover that specific parts of a market have problems. Sometimes developers push the envelope by building in fringe areas that are underserved by transportation and amenities, making housing in the area difficult to rent. So while the overall market might have a positive demand for housing, specific submarkets or groups of neighborhoods may be negatively impacted due to the location within that greater market area. The next factor is social. The social macro factor is somewhat subjective, but important nonetheless. In part, that's because many tenants and sellers and buyers may perceive a property to be better or worse than the market value might suggest, simply because they believe that it is. A property address is one example of a social factor. For example, a house along North Michigan Avenue, also known as the Magnificent Mile, in the Gold Coast neighborhood of Chicago, has more social value than a bigger property four blocks away. A good school district is another example of a social factor used in a neighborhood analysis. Even if a tenant doesn't have school-aged children, being in a highly rated district implies, and this is highly rated school district, implies that the neighbors and houses will be better and the rent somewhat higher than those in a school district with a lower rating. The physical factors, number three. Physical barriers or dividing lines such as canals, railroad tracks, highways, hills, and mountains are the third macro factor to consider when reviewing a neighborhood analysis. In some markets, a house that is located on the wrong side of the tracks, quote unquote, may be worth thousands of dollars less than a similar property on the opposite side of the tracks, right? Or the right side of the tracks. However, the right railroad tracks can also increase property value if the tracks are used for mass transit. That's because property located in transit-oriented developments or close to public transit in urban areas usually sells and rents for a premium. So how do we create this neighborhood analysis? Well, after reviewing the macro factors of a real estate market, the next step is to drill down deeper and create a neighborhood analysis to gain a better idea of your potential return on investment, your ROI. There are a number of key statistics used to analyze the investment potential of different neighborhoods within the same city or town. And some of the things that we rank are home values, population growth, employment and unemployment rates, median income levels, owner-occupied homes versus renter-occupied homes, school district ratings, educational attainment, and crime rates. Now, where do you find this data? You can analyze data in a number of different sources, but there's a lot of data from about 72,000 U.S. census tracts. There's great resources like Roofstock has a neighborhood rating algorithm that they use, roofstock.com, which has been a sponsor of ours, and also has a great service where you can look up homes that are rental properties specifically. Another thing you're going to look at in this rental analysis will be market rental rates, rental income, what's sort of the average rental income, vacancy rates, a percentage of renter-occupied households. And you could find stuff like that in maybe Zillow Rental Manager, for example. Rentometer also you can use. We talk about them a lot. Great service. I think there's something called rentcafe.com where you can check rents of nearby apartment buildings. And some other great resources there. Then you also have to look at financial data. So what are property asking prices? Comparables of recent sales, pending sales, and expired listings. a historical rental income for turnkey properties, cap rate comparing net operating income before, and that'd be before paying a mortgage, to market value. Then there's cash on cash return, gross yield, net cash flow, annualized return, total return, appreciation potential. And where do you find this information? You know, usually you'd have to tap into a local real estate agent, and they can, prepare CMA or comparative market analysis or comps for you using data from the MLS. Zillow, you can also go to Zillow. It has a lot of this data as well. I think CloudHouse Calculator, some different things also that Roofstock has. They also have an investment property marketplace analysis tool as well. So those are just some of the key factors that you need to take a look at as you're digging in. But researching neighborhood statistics and crunching the numbers is one good way to compile a neighborhood analysis. But before investing, a significant amount of money in a rental property, whether it's multifamily or a single family, it's important to do everything you can to ensure the area is the best choice. Here are six creative ways, okay, you can use to research the right neighborhood for your next investment property. Number one, review the enrollment trends in the schools closest to your intended purchase to learn if the school district and area is growing or shrinking. Now, a shrinking school, let's say there's an elementary school and it's going down, declining, doesn't necessarily mean an area is getting bad. It could mean that. It could mean people aren't, they're not moving to that area because the school is so bad. But it could also mean that an area is getting older. And that happens a lot, especially with baby boomer trends, where you have a lot of folks, they're staying in their house because their houses are going up in value, and they have been going up in value, so they don't want to move, but they don't have any school-age kids anymore. So you've got to weigh out those factors. The second thing, research building permits to identify new construction and the amount of property being significantly updated to help gauge the future demand for property and price appreciation trends. So building permits, you can get that from the local county, from the building office, for the city and so forth. And that's really good data. It also shows you, too, if there's a big boost in that area, that people see the opportunity in that community and they're building more properties, more homes and housing. So the third thing was make the most of your MLS sales comps. You know, again, we mentioned that is latching onto an agent or a broker that'll be able to share some of the data that they can get from the MLS by digging deep into data and analyzing the statistics, such as how many days in the market, sort of the average days in the market for property, median sales price, median price per square foot, percent of price change during the listing period, the difference between original list price and final sales price, reasons why listings were taken off of the market or expired without being sold. So those are key things you want to look for through the MLS. If you have access, great. If you don't, hopefully you have a realtor friend that might help you out with that. The fourth thing is a large number of rent or for sale signs are a warning that a neighborhood isn't as good as it might seem to be on paper. That's because a vibrant area that's good for investment should have low vacancy and high level of demand, instead of one street after another loaded with yard signs that's saying for sale or for rent. Number five, just driving the neighborhood, or having someone from your local real estate team, if you're an out-of-state investor, take that drive. It's a great way to get a feel for the neighborhood and, if you're not doing it yourself, ask whoever's doing that drive to explore the neighborhood at different times of the day and different days during the week, including weekends. And I've done this in buying properties. I would go to the neighborhood. I'd check it in the morning to see if a lot of people are getting up and going to work, around 8 in the morning. Now, in COVID, maybe nobody's going to work. It doesn't mean that the people aren't making money, but you can check and at the end of the day, seeing if people are coming in. Go to neighborhood parks and see what's happening. Go late at night. You know, are there seedy folks, you know, there hanging out, or you know, is it look like a, you know, it's a really a family place where people go? So that's really helpful. Looking at things such as, you know, how well the front yards are kept, where cars are parked. I mean, if you've got cars parked on the lawn with hoods up and things like this, this is a sign this is not, you know, necessarily a great area where there's not a lot of pride of ownership. And you can see that just by driving up and down the neighborhoods. The sixth item, an easy way to determine if a neighborhood is trending upward is by the amount of development and new business openings in the immediate area. Commercial real estate investors and residential property developers invest millions of dollars on projects only after they've done extensive research on the immediate market. Rental property investors can increase their odds for success by buying property where the big players are building. And one of the things we do is, especially as we're looking at B level properties, is, you know, we look for, you know, some of the upper scale type businesses like a Panera or a Whole Foods Markets, Trader Joe's, different venues that are going to appeal, you know, Starbucks to a certain degree, that'll appeal to people that have a little bit more expendable income. And these companies don't open up these stores or restaurants unless there is, you know, their research shows that there's some good potential for long-term success. So it's a good idea to sort of track. And if you can also, you know, tap into the data of some of these companies, especially if it's a new development, to see if they have plans to put some of these nicer places in that neighborhood, you know that they're looking at targeting a long-term growth. So that's real helpful. So just, you know, to conclude here, one of the best things about a neighborhood analysis is that you can use the same system to analyze the investment potential for any area in the country. When you're monitoring rental property opportunities on an ongoing basis, a neighborhood analysis can help you quickly learn if a new property is worth taking a closer look at, or it looks like this is the one you want to start investing in. Well, that's it for today. Please note, Old Dog listeners, everything presented here, including some links, and there are going to be some links in here I mentioned, can be accessed in our show notes on the Old Dog's website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled How to Find the Best Neighborhood for Real Estate Investing. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king, and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.